Everyone always likes the travel articles, and this article is on page 28 in the magazine, if you have it. And we have some very interesting people to travel with us today as we study this article. First, we have Lois, and I know, Lois, you love to travel. You travel all over the world.
I really do enjoy traveling. Thank you, Doris. And as our listeners probably know, part of the reason is because I'm married to an airline pilot. So
you get cheaper travel than the rest of us. Okay. Well, we're glad you're here, and I'm sure you've been to some of these places, Laura.
Yes, I have, or very close by.
Well, that's good. And also, we have Josh with us. And Josh, you've been to quite a few countries yourself.
I have. I've been fortunate enough to travel a lot. It's one of my favorite things to do, both on my own and with my wife, Pauline. And I'm glad to be here to talk about travel today.
Have you ever counted how many countries you've been to or not?
Oh, you know, that question comes up every once in a while, and it's more than I can count on my fingers and toes.
I think I must have been to at least 30.
Oh, good.
The reason is I've been with Heavenly Melody Singers, and then we go to Europe, and we go to many countries. So I've had a chance to see the countries, but not traveling just to travel, but, sure, you know, to do something. And it's kind of fun. Well, we have some very special people on our program today. They have never been in advance before. Isn't that great?
That is great. Yeah. We'd like to welcome them.
And one of them is our new teacher, and his name is Zach. Hello, Zach. Welcome. Let's give him a big hand.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you.
Zach, are you happy to be here at Studio Classroom?
Oh, I'm very happy to be here.
Well, Zach, you're from United States, and have you ever been to Europe?
That's right. I'm from the United States, but unfortunately, I've not had the opportunity to travel to Europe yet.
Well, sometime you probably will. I didn't go to Europe for a long time until I took the choir there a long time ago. So when you have the chance to do some, maybe you'll have a Studio Classroom trip. We used to have trips there to Europe. That's fun.
Yeah.
And then we have someone who just graduated from high school. No, is that right?
I just graduated from high school 2 years ago, but now I'm going to university in California.
Oh, you've 2 years ago, so you've already been. Oh, my goodness. Well, you went to high school in Taiwan, though, right?
Yes, I did.
And now you're in California?
Yes.
And what is your name?
My name is Pauline.
Pauline. Well, let's welcome Pauline. Thank you.
So now we have two Paulines.
That's right. Well, Pauline is a summer intern, and she's been here with us, and we're so happy that she can join us. You know, some of you that like to get a little experience can come to Advanced, and I'm glad you could be on. This is your very first radio program, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Good. Well, you can ask questions, you can answer questions, so let's go with the lesson. The lesson is about the most charming villages in Europe. When I think of the word charming, well, I just feel like it's something that's emotionally satisfying. How do you feel about something that's charming?
Well, when I think of charming, I actually think of a charm, believe it or not. So it's something I like to stare at or look at. So I think when I'm visiting a charming village, it's something that'll be very pleasing to my eyes.
Well, sometimes we talk about people and say, that person is very charming because they know how to say things in a nice way. What do you think about charming?
Well, when I think of people who are charming, I agree. I think of people who are very nice, but are also very interesting, right? And so when we're talking about a charming place, then I think of something that's also nice and interesting.
So don't you think it'll be fun to look at these charming villages in Europe together?
Most definitely.
Won't that be good?
Yes.
That'll be fun. So let's get started. Now, it says when you go to Europe that you should skip the big cities and discover some of Europe's prettiest small-town destinations. What do you think of that statement, Lois?
I actually really agree with that statement, Doris, because a lot of us now are urban dwellers, and lots of us live in very busy cities.
And we go to Paris, but London.
Yeah, and all these, you know, everybody says they've gone to Paris, they've gone to London, and they've gone to Rome. And I found my visiting in Europe, I actually picked, for the most part, smaller cities, towns, or villages, and I think I really got a feel for the people and their culture.
So that's what Lois feels. Now, I kind of feel that it's good to do both because you still want to see Rome and you still want to see Paris and London. Isn't that right? So we don't have to skip the big cities, but let's say let's include this. That's my feeling. How do you feel about it, Josh?
Well, I agree with you, Doris. I think a lot of the big cities are amazing and each has unique things to offer that are fantastic to see. But I also agree with Lois that sometimes the best sense for a country is to get out of the cities and really have a look at what some of the smaller towns and villages are like, and it really gives you a sense of what the culture and the people in the country can be like.
So let's do both. Yeah. Now, today we'll concentrate on the smaller places, but don't ignore the big cities. They're fun, too. I think so. But anyway, let's see what we can find out here in the first paragraph on page 28. Let's read it, and if you want to, you can read out loud with us.
The most charming villages in Europe. Skip the big cities and discover some of Europe's prettiest small-town destinations. Given Europe's high concentration of gorgeous big cities and world-class art museums, it's easy to completely overlook the continent's abundance of small, quaint villages and townships. However, if you're after relaxation, peaceful country walks, beautiful architecture, and opportunities for cultural immersion on your next trip across the pond, consider cutting down some of your city time and head out to a village instead. Here are six of the most charming villages in Europe, along with our top picks for places to stay in each.
Now, this article was written by someone here called Margaret Big, it says. And then this has been on oyster.com. What is oyster.com? Sounds like something to eat to me, an oyster.
Yeah, it's a website, and it will help you when you travel. And one of the great things that Oyster does, which most of us need help with, is helping us find a place to go to bed at night. So a hotel or a guest room. Yeah. And it recommends them. And lots of times they will give you too an opportunity to look at how much money you want to spend as well.
Mm-hmm. So it's one of those websites to help you when you travel. There's several of those that are good. But they said here, because according to Margaret, she feels that we should actually skip the big cities more, but not to overlook the small villages. So it says that Europe has a high concentration of gorgeous big cities and world-class art museums, like the Louvre and Paris and so forth. Mm-hmm. That's true, isn't it, Joshua?
It's certainly very true. And I would say many different areas of Europe offer large cities with attractive options.
Mm-hmm. So because of that, then you might overlook or not spend time on, and they talk about the continent of Europe, all of the very many small, quaint villages. I think of this word quaint. It seems like this word quaint is kind of an old-fashioned word, too. What does quaint mean?
Well, quaint and charming very often will go together, especially if you're talking about a thing or mm-hmm. a place. And quaint can mean slightly old-fashioned, so like mm-hmm. an old-fashioned town or an old-fashioned maybe even like a blanket or a quilt, right? It could be quaint. It usually means something that is nice, but it can also mean something that's a little bit odd.
Mm-hmm. Quaint, it just means kind of more classical or old-fashioned mm-hmm. in a way, doesn't it?
Right, and you might hear it's so different to maybe where you come from, because so many of us live in modern cities mm-hmm. that we instantly say, this is such a quaint village, so... Yeah, it's just, and it's a great word, and we do use it in our vocabulary, so.
Well, the next part here in line 5, it starts talking about, it says, if you're there for relaxation, if that's what you're for, or you want peaceful, long country walks and so forth, or even beautiful buildings, or cultural immersion, that's all kinds of things, then your next trip across the pond. I like that expression, across the pond. I think yes. most people in Asia don't know what we're talking about. Why do we say across the pond?
My dad used it all the time, Doris, and still does. Across the pond for him always meant, I'm going to leave Canada and I'm going over to England.
Right.
So,
always seems
yeah.
that, right.
So you might be going to the UK or you might be going to continental Europe, but oftentimes you'll hear people in Canada and the US say, I'm going across the pond.
Especially on the East Coast.
Yes.
We don't say that in the West Coast because I think the Pacific Ocean is too big to call upon. I don't think the Atlantic Ocean is that size. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think it's because we often think, I know for you in Seattle and for me in Vancouver, oftentimes they'll have flights that are going to go to Western Europe or the UK through Chicago or Toronto, and then you finally say, we're going to cross the pond. You're right. So it's often when you get midway across North America or to the East Coast.
So if somebody says across the pond, don't think about a little pond. This is a great big Atlantic Ocean, right?
That's right.
Kind of an interesting phrase, isn't it? Have you heard that before, Jack?
Yes.
You've heard people say that.
Yeah, being from North Carolina,
right.
Often before we would fly and cross the Atlantic Ocean, we would often use that expression to across the pond.
Is that right? Well, it's kind of an East Coast thing, right?
Yeah.
But I like this idea of cultural immersion because when we go to another place, like sometimes Chinese people always say, where's the Chinese restaurant, you know? Or even Americans, where's the fish and chips for British people or something? But you have cultural immersion. What does cultural immersion mean to you?
Culture immersion is, to me, means to completely be involved in trying to understand the culture to the best of your ability, whether it's food or transportation, and just getting to know that other culture well.
Don't you think that's important when you visit other countries? What do you think, Pauline? When you go to another country, do you think it's good to know more about it or just do your own things that you know?
I think it is very important to know more about it, not just in your head, but also by living in the culture itself.
Right. Find out what they eat, what they like to do, walk around the streets and go to areas where the people are. Don't you think that's important?
I think it's very important, and I think you'll get a lot more satisfaction out of your travel when you do it.
One thing, though, I wonder here, it says and after relaxation and relaxation and peaceful walks. When I go on a trip, I'm not going for relaxation or peaceful walks. I want to go and see something and do something exciting. Do you go for peaceful
walks? Well, you know what? It all depends on what time of day it is. For instance, there's some countries, like when we were in Rome, a lot of things closed down in the hot time of the day. So either we would go for like a little peaceful walk in the shops and areas, or we'd go find a great Roman cafe. And that was a cultural experience.
Well, that's true, but you didn't go there for relaxation. Did you travel for relaxation?
Well, I always have a time put aside for some relaxation.
But that's not your purpose, going.
Not number one purpose.
No.
No.
But so anyway, it depends on what you're traveling for. But usually you travel to see things that you haven't seen, right?
It's very true. And sometimes my wife and I have different ideas of the way we like to spend our travel time. And she would certainly agree with you, Doris, that traveling is time to get out there and see stuff, not necessarily take time for relaxation.
Right. What about you when you travel? What do you expect to do? Do you think you're going to go for relaxation? Or I could stay home and relax.
Sure. No, normally I like to more of the adventure kind and like to get out to see as much as possible just to make the most of the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So anyway, cut down on your city time. It doesn't say not to go to the cities, but cut down on it and head out to means just start out to some village instead. And here are six of the most charming villages in Europe, according to her. Now, if we want to vote,
according to Margot, right?
According to her.
Yeah.
I might vote for others. What about you?
Well, you know what I'm surprised missed the list? It
What's
totally
that?
Shocked me was Bruges in Belgium.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because Bruges has always been considered the Venice of the North.
Mm-hmm.
And had somebody not pushed Michael and I to go there, and I almost thought my husband was going to get fired by him if we didn't go, we went to Bruges, and I am so glad we didn't miss it. So I was actually pretty surprised small city did not make the
list.
And
they didn't go to Lindau and places in Germany that are just, there's so many charming places, but this is her choice, so we'll go by that.
Yeah.
This is her top picks for places to stay. So we'll do another article for those that we like sometimes. How about that?
That sounds great, Doris.
Well, let's start over in England, though, because England has so many charming villages. Let's read about this one in England.
Bybury in Gloucestershire, England. Often lauded as the most beautiful village of the Cotswolds, Bybury is also one of the most popular spots for visitors to stay in the area, and gets a steady stream of tourists from around the world. It's set among the rolling green hills that the region is known for, and consists almost entirely of light beige stone cottages, including the famous Arlington Row, a line of cottages dating back to 1380. Oyster Hotel pick, The Swan.
Well, when she says the word lauded here, that sounds kind of like a British expression to me, Joshua. What does that mean to you?
Well, it does mean to me, so like to praise something or to speak very highly of something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've been to England several times, and so have you, Lois. What do you think about this?
Well, you know, I liked where she mentioned, and actually the picture reminds me, I'm sure the same for you, Doris, a little bit of Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was reading about this part of the article, I always get excited because, you know, I love England. And I was thinking I'd like to go to this area because I love to see the old cottages of England.
But you can see them in so many places.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, just like you were mentioning before, I'd also tell people, go to Brighton, go to Cambridge, go to Windsor, go to York, right?
Well, she talks about the rolling green hills, and that's beautiful. That's what the Cotswolds are noted for. And when I think of those rolling green hills, I think of all the sheep. There's so many sheep in England, and it's just so much fun to see those sheep in the springtime if you go there. And that's what I think about when you go there, not just the green hills, but the sheep on the hills.
Right, right. And then you go up to Scotland, get on the train, go up to Scotland, and even more sheep.
That's right. But anyway, this tells you a little bit about the architecture. And the thing that amazes me is that these cottages are dating back to 1380. How can they still be there?
Didn't
that astound you?
I did my math on that, Doris. That's 637 years ago.
Can you imagine that?
No, it's hard to believe.
I mean, how can they stand up that long?
They're cottages.
I know, but even still. But anyway, if you want to go there, that's wonderful.
No, that's what I mean. How can cottages stand so long and not fall down?
Wow. Well, anyway, that's one place you might want to go. There's a lot of good places. If we did England, we could do a whole big article. But let's go to the next place. What's the next place we're going to?
Ez in Côte d'Azur, France. Set on a hilltop on the French Riviera, overlooking the Mediterranean Sea, the Provençal township of Ez is easily one of the most picturesque spots in the region. It's largely a tourist destination, and many of its buildings date back to the Middle Ages. While there are lots of shops and restaurants here, as well as a botanical garden, it's far from bustling. In fact, Ez is particularly popular with couples seeking romantic solitude. Oyster Hotel pick, Château de la Chèvre d'Or.
Well, this place always sounds very romantic to people, the French Riviera. What do you think?
So the French Riviera is very popular, a destination for Europeans and North Americans alike. There's a beautiful, large area along that coast that includes many famous cities, but I'm very interested in some of the small villages like Ez that they mentioned here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And the reason I think, Josh, you would like Ez is because the Riviera gets very crowded. Mm-hmm. And if you can find a place that's less crowded there and tourists don't go there as often, you'll have a much better experience. Because when I say it's wall-to-wall people, it's like
crowded.
It is crowded.
But you notice down here, like in line 12, it says it's one of the most picturesque spots. Now, a picturesque spot is nice to take pictures because it's quite typical looking. But when I looked at that, I thought, I'd like to look at that. But what are you going to do there? I don't think there's very much to do there.
Well, it really is a place where you go to relax, but you're also maybe going to look for something special to purchase that you will only find in that part of the world.
A good French restaurant, maybe.
Yes, a very good French restaurant.
Okay, and they have a botanical garden, mm-hmm. and those are always interesting, don't you think? But it's not very bustling, so I don't know. I was just thinking that probably Zach and I would find that a little bit boring. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I think so.
It doesn't look like, you know, I kind of like places where you can get around and do a little
I think
more.
It's a real great diversion, though, and a time for relaxation from being in Paris, because Paris is so busy.
We'll go to Germany. It's fun. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, this is a place that couples go for romantic solitude. I guess there's a lot of places you can go for romantic, go to Hawaii, too.
Doris, I think if my French is right at the end where they do the oyster pick, Chateau de la Chèvre d'Or, I think that means Castle of the Gold Horse, I believe.
Really?
Yes, I think that's what that means.
Well, I don't think I'd go there if I had to pronounce it. Say, give me the Hilton Hotel or something like that, you know. It's kind of hard to say a name. Don't you think that's a hard name to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, if you want to go to a place like that, it doesn't hurt. But there's so many places to go. And I think that we should actually go back to England area and go up north to Ireland. Let's jump back to Ireland. Are you ready?
Cong in County Mayo, Ireland. Set on a tiny sea-facing island on the western coast of Ireland, Cong is a quiet village that's notable for its crumbling gray stone ruins and many outdoor activities. One of its biggest claims to fame is being the filming spot for the 1952 film The Quiet Man. But the biggest draw for most visitors is the opportunity to visit or stay in, the medieval Ashford Castle, which now operates as a luxury hotel. Oyster Hotel Pick, Ashford Castle.
Have you been to Ireland, Lois?
I have not been to Ireland, but I've heard my husband brag about Ireland.
It's beautiful. It's green. They have green grass. Beautiful. They don't have a lot of jobs for the young people there, but actually it's very picturesque. Mm-hmm. That's true. And what does it say about it here? It's on a tiny sea-facing island, this island. So an island is even more romantic off the coast. What do you think?
Oh, I love islands. I try to get to them as much as possible. We live on one here, and I just find them... There's always a place to find a good view.
What do they say about the island of Cong here, Josh?
Well, they say that it's a quiet village, so it fits in sort of with the rest of the article. That's notable, so that people are famous for or take note of, its crumbling gray stone ruins and many outdoor activities.
Now, crumbling gray stone ruins doesn't sound very exciting to me either.
Well, I know there's a lot of people who are not very interested in ruins because they are older buildings that have fallen apart and people aren't using them anymore. But for myself, I'm a little bit of a history buff. I look at ruins, I see history, and that's very exciting for me. And I like to take pictures of things that are falling apart because I think sometimes they make for very interesting pictures. So this particular village would draw me just to go and take pictures of all the ruins.
Well, that's true. And they also have many outdoor activities, so that would be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Right. And I think if you go there in the summer, you're going to be blessed with some very nice weather, but no humidity. So that would attract me, Doris.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said one of the biggest things that it is known for, when it says claims to fame, in other words, why is this place well known? What do they claim? What do they say? What is their claim to fame? Why do they say this is important?
Well, there's a movie that I have heard of but never watched, and now I'm going to watch it. It's from 1952, so before I was born. It's called The Quiet Man. Doris, have you seen that?
Yes.
Okay, I've never seen it.
And it shows the scenery.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's, some of these movies that they take in these places, then you can really get a feel of the place, can't you?
That's true.
Yeah. And so a lot of people go to see that, and they want to stay in this very old castle called Ashford Castle. And now it operates as a luxury hotel. So there would be something to see there, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I think it's very fascinating to go stay in an old castle that's been converted into a comfortable hotel.
I think I want to play hide-and-seek in an old castle.
Well, I don't know. You might get put down one of those chambers where they used to put people in chains down there. You better watch it. You better watch it, yeah. Well, now we've finished this first few places. There's more tomorrow. And this is what our author that wrote this, Margaret Beek, thought were the best places. And we've learned some good words. Have you learned any new expressions or words that you might want to take away? What do you think people would remember?
Well, I think actually people are going to remember what you pointed out first was cultural immersion.
Right.
So thinking about that when you're going to travel.
Yes, I think that's very good. Anything else that you think they might want to remember, particularly out of today's lesson?
Well, I think the expression that we use pretty commonly to talk about crossing the Atlantic, so across the pond, is a good thing to know just because you might see references to it, or people may talk about it when they're traveling. You'll realize that they're talking about going across the Atlantic Ocean and not like the pond in your backyard.
Right. Sounds like something that should be on our info cloud in Studio Classroom.
Yes, I think so.
Information that you need to know. Well, and we've also found that a lot of these places, they're quiet places, and they have a lot of older buildings, whether they're crumbling or not. But you can see what it was like many years ago. So like you said, Josh, it gives you a feeling of history, doesn't it?
It's true.
Mm-hmm. What do you think after going over this lesson with us? Did you have anything that you thought about it, Zach?
Sure. I think Europe seems to be a fantastic place if you're someone who's interested in history, or if you are interested in seeing old, quaint villages. It would be a really peaceful place to get away for a little while. Maybe not so much an adventurous time traveling, but familiarizing yourself more with European culture.
Mm-hmm. And Pauline, what do you think about this lesson? Is there anything in here that would people should remember?
I think especially if you're young, you think that Europe, you should just go to Paris, but all of these small villages are great to learn about and to learn more about the rich history behind them.
That's true. And, you know, you can look them up ahead of time so you know what to expect and where to go and plan your trip. But they do jump around to a lot of places, and we've got more coming tomorrow.
Oh, we're going to a favorite country of yours.
Oh, we're going to go to Germany. That's got a lot of cultural places, but there's so many good places to see all over the world. This is just a few, but we'll talk about them tomorrow, so we'll be armchair travelers. We can't go there, but we will talk about it, right?
Right.
And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Will you all be here with us tomorrow?
We will.
Good. Yes. See you again tomorrow, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.